the factory or something. And a lot, I've heard a lot of people say before they would rather not be glued to video for an hour, give or take, depending on how long we go. I know a lot of times we go a little bit past that, and a few times we've come under that, but I think it's easier for people to consume and not have to be stuck with their phone open, killing their battery, and like you said, their data too. So welcome. You know, it's been 7 months since, that's hard to even believe, but 7 months since we last got together as a Patient Patriot. Now, Josh and I see each other on a weekly basis, outside of this podcast. And, so we always talk shop and politics, and, but I owe it to my good cousin Jay, who is watching from the formerly free state of Michigan. And he encouraged me, within the last few days to fire this back up and revisit some topics and get some thoughts out and talk about the interesting times that we live in. I know I posted that earlier, that it's an old Chinese curse or proverb, depending on how you look at it, that may you be fortunate enough to live in interesting times. And I think it's easy to say that we are living in some pretty interesting or fascinating times. So
it is.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. If you guys have questions, you're free to throw them in the comments. You disagree with us, because look, the reality is, we don't know it all. You know, we're pretty opinionated. We have fun on this podcast. And to be honest, I think Josh and I's position from the giddy up has always been that we just enjoy doing this. We like shooting the shit. We like talking politics. You know, anybody that knows me knows I love God, but I curse like a steel worker, which makes sailors blush at times. So, you know, if you're not used to kind of high energy, you know, I have to admit I'm amped up, I'm caffeinated up, and I'm a little bit fed up. So, so tonight we might have some fun here. But feel free to engage us. I know Josh, in times past, has thrown up the phone number. If you want to call in and be on the show, you're welcome to. And we'll figure it out one way or the other. And feel free to engage, disagree, fight, agree, have fun. And we appreciate you tuning in for however long you choose to stay with us.
Hope's in the room.
Yeah, nice so to see you, Hope.
Yeah, everybody, one of the ways that the computers love to circulate this is by interaction, and the more interaction it gets, the more it circulates. We had an interesting, this will be our light section.
Okay,
we got censored the first time we went live about 3 minutes before this one went live.
Yeah, we were on time tonight, really.
Right, matter of fact, it may show up as a partial stream, I don't know.
We try not to get paranoid, but we do know that censorship is a significant issue that we're all dealing with in social media and mass communication, and lifetime censorship is growing. And to go live on Facebook tonight, since we haven't been up in about 7 months, we were surprised to see that they wanted a title of your video and a brief description, and when Josh plugged in politics, it stalled out our feed and decided to dump us. But immediately when he rebooted and listed it as something
Sunnyvale,
kind of relaxed and benevolent,
and it just
magically the feed stayed up and we have no problems. So it's just wild, who knows. But good to see you, Joe from work, and Jack was on a second ago. Well, Jack worked me like a Hebrew slave today in the steel mill, so I had to get a lot of caffeine so I could be ready for this show, because they kind of beat me down. They're so cruel to me, Josh, you wouldn't believe.
You know, I'm not going
to... If I was Pinocchio, my nose would be about 3 feet
I was going to say, man, right. Lightning's going to strike here any minute. So what do we want to talk about first?
You know, some topics we're going to kind of touch on tonight. I had initially discussed eating some homemade MREs that you got from a friend who's kind of stockpiling and trying to figure out how to face the challenges that are coming, mm-hmm. and the bigger challenges that might be coming. And but I think you wisely encouraged me to hold off on that, because we're going to have to revisit and do another kind of roundabout prepping show where we talk about water security, and I have some personal experiences and stories now to share about that since the last time, mm-hmm. We were together and discussed that issue. And so we're going to save that for another time. Tonight, what we are going to talk about is, look, it ain't going to be a big shock. We talk about firearms and gun culture just about every damn time we're together. And with the president, the office of the president-elect, Mr. I pet my dog after showering and grab its tail and break my foot, Joe Biden, we have a lot of policies lined up. Now, I know all my Democrat friends and family love to argue, oh, nobody's coming after your guns. But we do have to discuss what is being proposed in platform and what may be actually proposed in reality. So we're going to talk about some of that coming up. We're going to talk about, because obviously none of us have had enough of it, but we'll touch on COVID, probably drilling down a little bit on the issue of the vaccine that's coming. And so I know there's always passionate debate on those issues. And past that, just the erosion of individual liberty, civil liberties, kind of the challenges of lockdowns, not so much the debate over the virus anymore, because you and I have dealt with that already ad nauseum,
right.
But just kind of the effects of what is happening in our culture due to these extended lockdowns and virus rules and all that interesting stuff.
With that, I think the as far as the virus goes, I mean, it started off, hey, it's just a mask, and it's escalated to them suggesting how many people you can have over for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And some states making masks in the home.
Yes.
A push. And I think if you would have said that back in, say, April, May.
Sure, sure.
People would have said that's far-fetched. And now.
Yeah, that a bureaucrat would tell you what you can do regarding the holidays in your home.
Sure.
And I can remember very early on, I posted a video of a surfer in California who was out by himself. Mm-hmm. Nobody out there, but the beaches were closed under their initial however many week lockdown. And so he was in violation of quote-unquote COVID rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent the sheriff's patrol boat, and it looked like the Coast Guard and a Navy battleship. And dude, they called everybody and their brother out there in a boat,
mm-hmm.
violating COVID protocols to detain and arrest this guy,
right.
for surfing. And I remember how much pushback I got from a lot of people saying, well, look, he broke the rules. He's breaking the law. You know, clearly something needs to be done about this crazy guy on a surfboard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because I was so sensitive to it then, because I knew where it was going to come in 3, 6, 9 months, which is where we're at, where,
sure.
you're not allowed to have over a certain amount of people in your house, or, you know, the rules have gotten more and more restrictive and invasive,
sure.
and offensive, in my opinion.
Well, they had a rent-a-cop tase a lady at a game.
Yeah, I saw that.
That, you know, I think there's probably some room there to say that that was probably overboard.
Well, yeah, you could argue, and I would agree that she behaved ignorantly. You know, you realize going, and I'm glad you jumped on public sports. That was here in Ohio, actually, Southern mm-hmm. Ohio. Where a woman went to a football game, presumably for her family member to go observe and watch. And I'm assuming, because we only saw a small snippet of the video, but I'm assuming she went in with a mask as required. And then once she sat down, she chose to take it off. And then a off-duty officer or campus security guard, I'm not sure which one it was, decided to engage her and tell her to put it back on. She sat back a little bit. And then they got into a small wrestling match in which she got tased and walked out. You could argue that, hey, she broke the rules. Yeah, she did. You could argue that she took a stand and then she paid a price for it. And that's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're at the point, you know, it's gotten to the extreme where bureaucrats are now equating those who are mask resistant to domestic terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how this language and this kind of Karen, mind your neighbor's business has expanded dramatically, and not for the better of our country. But speaking of high school sports, I saw an article today where the Ohio Athletic Association has determined that wrestlers can go forward on their wrestling season. They're allowed to wrestle on the mat, but they can't shake hands.
Yeah, boy, that one makes sense, don't it?
Because of COVID. So no handshaking. Josh, let's just... I'm not afraid of your hand. Are you afraid?
Oh
my gosh. Well, the good news is it's not after 10 p.m., so the COVID ain't out yet. speaking of crazy rules, it seems like there's like a kind of a ladder here of restriction. Like Michigan, as my cousin Jay pointed out, you're representing the new flag, the new state flag of Michigan over there with the with the hammer and sickle. Old Governor Whitmer, I was almost kidnapped by white supremacists. Yeah, right. Is like super crazy, right? And then like our governor's kind of moderately crazy. And then I have a cousin in North Carolina who their governor tends to follow our state. So they're like a step below us in crazy. But it's interesting to see the varying shades of insanity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your high school wrestlers in Ohio can wrestle on the mat and roll all over each other, but they can't shake hands and demonstrate good sportsmanship.
And you know what's crazy about that? I've been involved in wrestling for a while.
Yes.
Not so much now that he's not in college anymore.
Josh used to be a professional wrestler. What was your stage name?
The Mick? I don't know. What?
Just interrupting questions. Just trying to throw you off there.
But there is not a sport that breeds funk.
Yeah.
More than the sport of wrestling.
Than wrestling.
That's why they're so adamant about cleaning the mats and whatnot.
Yes.
But with things like ringworm and impetigo being mm-hmm. very common.
Sure, sure.
The fact that they're letting them roll, but don't shake hands. The problem with that is the people that made that rule understand wrestling.
Oh yeah, it wasn't some you know unaware, you know
somebody that was just health ignorant. You
know policymaker that had no clue. These are people that know what wrestling is. Right. I would have had more respect. Look, I don't want to squash anybody's season because they allowed football to go forward, and you mm-hmm. got some close contact with football too, obviously. But wrestling is the most, to use a odd word, the most intimate form
of
physical sport in high school. Sure. I mean, you're mm-hmm. on somebody. Mm-hmm. And while I don't want to see their season crushed, I think it's ironic that the state would say, go ahead and go forward with the season, which is risky if you're concerned about viral spread, mm-hmm. but then eliminate things like handshaking. It's so Orwellian and bizarre, and that's the problem I have with the way this stuff is rolling out. Not that, you know, I'm not being dismissive. I'm not out licking doorknobs and, you know, digging in my nose after touching, you know, the ATM machine or something weird. I know this is a real virus, and I think we have to be careful.
Sure.
It's highly transmissible. We've talked about that before. Not super lethal for the vast majority of people,
right?
But very fast spreading and concerning, maybe especially with issues of morbidity down the road, what it might do to your lungs and your organs and your systems. Having said that, man, when I hear a story like this that is so ridiculous,
right?
It makes me go, man, what? Who in the heck is steering this ship?
Because for those that have never watched a wrestling match, you have two people sweating on each other. And within
and
inches of each other's faces.
And you're working hard, breathing. So you're sucking a lot of air.
Right.
Yeah.
But don't shake hands?
Yeah, that is so moronic as to... It could almost be a fake news story. It is so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, when I saw it on Facebook today, I had to look it up because I thought, there is no way in hell this news story is real.
Yeah. Oh, it
I is. Thought it was like a Babylon Bee, some kind of ridiculous, absurd...
Right.
So, may you live in interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe Reinhold, he's poking fun at me. He said that's the life of an elite operator, working hard at work when Jack just keeps that steel a-moving, man. They made me hustle.
Man, you know, pardon my language, man, but the shit's getting deep in here. I want to get...
I didn't even get to take a nap or watch a movie today, Josh. That's how hard I worked.
You know...
All kidding aside, I never get to do that at work. I don't have one of those union jobs.
Wow.
And don't contradict me in the comments either.
You know, this equipment is insured, but when lightning strikes, bro,
I'll be in trouble. Huh?
Uh-huh.
All right. So what else, you know, I know you mentioned the vaccines and I think, excuse me. I know we've talked about vaccines in general in the past, and I always preface a discussion because, look, I get it. This is a very controversial issue, even pre-COVID.
Right.
Vaccine independence versus vaccine conformity. So I'm not unaware of the challenges of this discussion, here's what I will say. I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
Okay.
I think there's science behind the concept of vaccination. I think there are many good and proven vaccines out there. My kids had all of their childhood vaccinations, as did I. Mm-hmm. I think when you and I grew up, there was like, what, five or six of them that you...
I think there was five.
Five of them that you were required to do. Now there's 45. Or however, it's hyperbole, but it's gotten ridiculous and multiple stages of the same vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm a person that values medical freedom. And I've had this discussion throughout this week with the different people. Is the idea that I want you to be able to determine what you put in your body. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to be determined by the state, by an unelected medical bureaucrat, by your neighbor, or by your employer. I think you should have freedom over your body. And I believe in informed consent. I believe that you ought to have the information you need to make the right decision on whether a particular vaccine is right for you. Mm-hmm. After you are also aware of the minor, often minor, risks that come with them. And so I'm not anti-science. I'm not a Luddite. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But I think we have to talk about legitimate concerns with a rushed-to-market RNA-type vaccine that can get in your body and mildly alter elements of your DNA. What could possibly go wrong with that, Josh? Doesn't that sound like maybe the beginning of a sci-fi movie?
Well, here's just stepping back and looking at it. We have a flu shot that comes out every year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say on a good year, it's 60% effective, and that would be a stretch.
I think in the last 25 years, the last time I looked into that particular vaccine, even on the best year, you have 40? A 50-50 chance of nailing the right strain, and even then, it's about 40 or 50% effective, so it's absurd.
Right.
They've never guessed the right strain, at least not in the last 25 years.
So if in the past quarter century, they haven't gotten it right to... Yeah.
And prove me wrong on that. Feel free.
Right.
Because I've hunted it down.
So now they're saying that they're 95% effective in 10 months? I have to question that. I do.
Well, yeah.
Just at face value. Not the science of it, from an anti-vaxxer standpoint, but just from what you see.
Just rush to market.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone throws that label out there because you don't want it, you know, and I'm saying, me personally, hey, if you want that, go ahead, because I want to see the result.
Because
I'm not.
No, when you have politicians kind of grandstanding and virtue signaling that, oh, yes, I'll sign up and I'll have it done on TV, yeah, I guarantee they're not getting that vaccine. They're getting some kind of, you know, sugar water or vitamin B shot or some. It's all smoke and mirrors. And call me a cynic, a skeptic, a kook, a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist. But I'm not digging it until I see it implemented and I know that it's safe. And even then, to be honest, I'm still going to debate whether it's worth it when it's compared to the risks. Because even as it stands right now in Ohio, yeah, I've shared this throughout the week, and this is not meant to be dismissive of anyone who has suffered loss in this pandemic. Having said that, man, the mortality rate is still really, really low.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it. My liberal friends that most likely will not tune into the show anyways would argue, well, that's because we have worn masks and shut down and taken all these incredible steps. Okay, maybe. But having said that, you can multiply Ohio's current deaths, which are just under 7,000, you can multiply it by 10, which means it could be 70,000 right now. And against the general population in the state of Ohio of 11.69 million, that means you still have, as Joe Smith out there on the street, you have a 99.4% chance of surviving this plague.
Right.
So when there's less than 1% mortality rate, even if you multiply deaths by 10,
right,
then do we really need a rush to market unproven vaccine? And right. and after all of the illnesses that we've battled as a species, why is it that this one is the first one that's going to be required to fly, to go to the market, possibly to keep your job, depending on what field you work in?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to become more and more invasive, just like the masks have.
Right.
And you have to ask yourself, why is that?
I'm going to say that you could look at it as someone created a market, and mm-hmm. now someone wants to capitalize on it. If we create this,
if we
create a big scary sickness, and company X makes whatever to make it better, investing in that company on a market, then that makes money. Yeah,
that would be the least conspiratorial. Would be as somebody, well, at the very least would be, it's a great vaccine and somebody just wants to make a difference in the world. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm a little bit too jaded to count on others' altruistic motivations.
Right.
So then the next step down would be yours, which is, hey, maybe it's a mildly effective vaccine, but it's going to make a shit ton of money for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they want to pump it out there. And you can get deeper down the conspiracy hole the further that we talk about it. And I don't want to get sidetracked by that. But I'm here to say I'm not really interested.
Right.
And you're going to see how much pressure starts getting put on this within the next administration and as different versions of this roll out. You know, you already have airlines like Qantas saying that they're going to require a vaccine card showing proof of COVID vaccination before you can fly on their airlines. And I'm just curious how long it's going to take before you see that at your local restaurant like BW3's or like Jack accurately talked about at work today when we discussed these issues. He said, you know, maybe it won't be mandatory to keep your job, but maybe you'll be forced to pay a higher medical premium.
Oh, sure.
So they'll financially disincentivize resistance. Mm-hmm. Or when you go to your restaurant, they'll say, okay, you don't have your COVID card. Well, we're going to add a 20% surcharge because we have to take extra cleaning measures on your booth after sure. you leave. And so you will be financially pressured into it. And then when it's that kind of that invasive in your life, I know I keep using that word, but that's what it feels like, an invasion. When it's that ingrained into society that you can't buy or sell or travel or work or bank, then how far off is it from, you know, kind of revelation, mark of the beast, kind of weird stuff? I'm not saying that's what it is.
Right.
I'm just saying I think it's interesting that there's going to be so much pressure put on conformity to a rush to market unproven vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And again, that would sort of lend itself to the monetary side.
Yes.
Because, I mean, they've done that with other things.
Oh, sure.
They've done it with smoking. Mm-hmm. We'll just tax the mess out of it. We'll make it so you have to pay, well, with healthcare. If you're person X, Y, or Z, you pay mm-hmm. a little bit more.
Yes.
This would be no different. And that's.
Well, and I think, too, within 5 years, you're going to start, because it's happening already in more restrictive states, you're going to see the vaccine exemptions radically done away with. Right now in Ohio, you can opt your children out, even if they're in public schools. I know the pressure always comes out, oh, you have to get this vaccine or you can't come to school.
Right.
That's not entirely true. No. You have legal options to opt sure. out. It's usually just a piece of paper. And you can opt out in Ohio at this point in history, 2020 in December. You can opt out for philosophical reasons.
Yep.
You can opt out for religious reasons. You can opt out for medical reasons, which would include an allergy or some pre-existing condition that would cause a negative reaction to that vaccine. We're going to see all that disappear
mm-hmm.
unless we fight vigorously, because it's already happening. And especially with as hard as this push is for this current vaccine, vaccine exemption is going to, it's going to vanish within about, I'm guessing, about 3 years.
Possibly.
I think it's coming.
Possibly. I think the steps towards it will be smaller.
The death of 1,000 cuts? Well, that's always the argument, too, with firearms.
I think they'll pressure people more with the financial side first.
Sure. Well, you know, there's always a propaganda rollout. You know, the first step is everybody's doing it, and it's wonderful, and you need to do it, too. And then the next step is, everybody's done it, and why haven't you, you weirdo? So there's social incentive and social pressure.
Sure.
Then there's financial incentive. you know, hey, put this, you know, let's connect your auto insurance to the black box in your car, and if you drive reasonably, we'll give you a discount. Well, what they don't tell you is if you have a few, you know, hard braking or a few over accelerations, well, then they start dinging you.
Sure.
So it goes from incentivizing to penalizing.
Sure.
And then it goes from financial to legal with threat of incarceration or fines or, you know, criminal charges. And so that's the progression that typically stuff goes in. And hopefully not, but I have a feeling it's coming with this upcoming vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And I think the changing of the guard that's coming at the first of the year.
Well, yeah, and especially, you know, since we're shifting there, let's get off COVID and talk about elections, because sure. Lord knows nobody here has had enough of political talk over the last month, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
I would also encourage you, look, I know sometimes we come off, or I do, Josh is more reasonable than I am. I come off as goofy or kooky, but even if this is not your bread and butter, it doesn't make us any money, and we have no illusion of this ever being any bigger than us shooting the shit. But if you think we're on target with some of our information, or to be honest, if you just like freedom of speech, please feel free to share this. I know for some of you, you'd be like, man, I don't know if I want that on my thread. Look, there's all kinds of times where I pull stuff back off of my Facebook thread because I reconsider what I did. But if you're willing, it doesn't mean anything to us as far as finances, but it would be nice to know that we're resonating with people out there, and so that people that are on the same page don't feel isolated or alone. Because I tell you what, the censorship and the manipulation and the gaslighting, dear God, the level of information warfare that we are experiencing in this age is unprecedented. I mean, it's almost scary. Mm. There are times I look at the level of gaslighting, and that's a big fancy term. If you don't know what that means, is somebody tells you the exact opposite of what you see, hear, taste, and touch. Mm-hmm. You know that it is actually this, but somebody continually says, no, it's this over here, and tries to, it's a form of brainwashing is what it is, and tries to convince you that what you know to be true is not actually true. And so that is growing and expanding, and we're seeing it in all the socials as well as the legacy media. And so feel free to get this out there and see what people think of it. But we're shifting to the election and the politics. So you were saying, you know, especially as the changing of the guard occurs, and that's going to hinge a lot on what happens in Georgia. Because and Josh and I haven't really talked in depth about this. This is one of the rare times you're going to see kind of live interaction, because I don't really know what his thoughts are. We haven't talked about the details of the election and where we think this is all going at all in the last month. And so it'd be interesting to see what you have to say. I personally, I'll lay it out there. I think there's mass election fraud, maybe not mass voter fraud. There's a difference there. Having said that, I don't think it's going to change the fact that Joe Biden is going to be seated as president.
Right. Here's my thoughts on it. We've seen in varying degrees some things that might be questionable as far as voting goes.
Sure.
Is it this big, wide-scale conspiracy or movement to get rid of Donald Trump? I don't see it. You know what I see? The American people got exactly what they wanted. You have everybody that's this polarized,
mm-hmm.
and somebody on either side mm-hmm. got that handful of people to move. I mean, we've seen it with Hillary. And that's how Donald Trump won.
I don't know.
And I don't see, I mean, you both sides done the same thing. I always, you know, seen people post, well, you're voting for Biden, but try to say why you're voting for him without using Donald Trump's name.
Sure.
The flip side to that is, you're mm-hmm. saying you're voting for Trump, don't use Biden's name.
Well, and I won't speak for you, and I won't ask you to exposed, because it's at your business. I've been very plain throughout the last 4 years that while I voted for Trump the first time, I thought his personality was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I've never right. seen. And hey, look, love him or hate him, and I know some of you guys really dig Trump, and maybe there'll be a point if this video gets wide enough viewership where there's going to be some people that watch it that absolutely hate Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. you know, look, I'm no Trumpophile. I'm not in love with the dude. Mm-hmm. I voted for him. I like a lot of his policies, especially when it comes to individual sovereignty and freedom, and specifically on the issues of guns. Having said that, so you're saying you think basically a fair and free election occurred, minus a few hiccups.
Yeah, sure.
And I totally disagree.
And what makes it for me, I didn't vote for Trump the first time,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't vote for him this time.
Fair enough.
Some of it was personality, but a lot of it was he just had a different flavor of the bullshit. You know, he said he was going to drain the swamp.
Sure.
And he put a few holes and started draining it, but then he started filling it from the other end, right? With a big surveillance state that
yeah, there are some key issues that you and I will agree on that he blew.
He had three chances at Supreme Court justices, and he maybe got one of them right.
He got one that was decent, yeah, and two that were rhinos.
And you know, to have that much at your disposal and blow it, no, I'm not voting for you.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to turn this into the defend Trump hour because, to be honest, I don't care. I really don't. That's I don't like him enough to sit here and argue why.
Right.
Here's what I think, though. Regardless of who you voted for, when you see, and here are things that are indisputable at this point as of, you know, early December, a few weeks before Christmas, when we're still talking about certifying elections, lawsuits, we'll see how well this ages into next year. and you're talking about the Electoral College. I think that what we know for a fact, just looking in the city of Philadelphia on the day that I was watching the news and watching the numbers come in, you had people actively canvassing and campaigning inside of voting districts, polling places,
mm-hmm.
which is illegal.
Right.
That's a form of election meddling or election fraud. Now, you could argue small scale, mm-hmm. sure. As one example I saw in the news in Philly,
mm-hmm.
but then in multiple precincts in Philly, on the outside of the polling station, you had posters up on how to vote a straight blue ticket, also a form of campaigning, which is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple precincts that happened, which is a form of election meddling. I would argue that I believe it was Pfizer not releasing the information on a successful vaccine until the week after the election is possibly a form of election meddling. You can't tell me they just magically stumbled onto that research the week after the election. Is it possible they had it for 2 or 3 weeks before but didn't want to release it because of political reasons? I think it's possible. Having said that, that's not provable, but here's what we do know. There was a false claim in Georgia of a water main break. I stayed up. I was on afternoons that day.
Mm-hmm.
I got home and I stayed up till 3:30 in the morning in all five swing states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, were pro-Trump at 1:30 in the morning. At 3:30 in the morning, all the numbers had stalled and the counting seemed to kind of plateau, and I went to bed. And then when I woke up, magically, Biden's graph had jumped way higher. Now, you could argue that they knew this going in, that Trump would have a strong presence at the polls, Biden would have a strong response in mail-in ballots. To me, there's enough chicanery going on to necessitate forensic authentication or authentication on these elections. Here's what I'll say, though. At the end of the day, none of that matters. Because if you believe that the fraud was big enough, which I do, we don't have a mechanism in place to properly deal with it.
No.
Because what the hell are you going to do? You're going to hold a whole new election? There's no way.
Right. That's not going
to happen. And so the bottom line is, at the end of the day, and I know my pro-Trump friends and family don't want to hear this, but the reality is Biden is going to be seated as his president.
Sure.
And so, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to kind of kill your buzz here, but whether you want it or not, there's no way that the Supreme Court, which half of them I'm confident are being blackmailed by the deep state, because, I mean, going back to Obamacare, when you have John Roberts, a conservative court justice, who wrote the dissenting opinion before he gave a yes vote on Obamacare, somebody had something on him. And so I'm convinced the court is just as leveraged as Congress is when they found spy audio equipment in the coat rooms of the Senate. I mean, there's so many levels of blackmail and threatening that I don't think you're going to get a fair shake in the courts, even if you could get your case there. And Donald Trump might not even get his case there.
I'm going to go way back to Howie Chizik. You remember the Talk of Akron?
Yes, Talk of Akron.
Right. He said, and this would have been back in, goodness, early, it was after, right after Bush got elected the first time. And he said, you're going to see shifts in the country because of people not being happy where they're at, and they'll move, right? And you see, like, these large migrations of people from, like, California to Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you keep something like that in mind, here's what makes me a little bit skeptical. I don't know of a president that wins Ohio and Florida and loses the election.
Yeah, and so, look, there are things that I would throw out there that are not provable but are concerning. Like Jay pointed out, the story from Michigan that we know to be true as well, where a poll worker found that you would press the Trump button, it would show Trump on your written ticket, but the software was changing it to Biden. They found, what, 5,000 or 6,000 votes, Jay, correct me if I'm wrong, in one of the Michigan precincts, I believe in Detroit. And so we know that there's a possibility of the machines either accidentally screwing up or being intentionally messed with via internet connection or software updates. Is there enough fraud there to have swayed it? I think so. Is it going to change anything at the end of the day? I don't think so. And I would agree with you on blue migration. Yeah, it's one of those ironies of life is that people in California vote blue and higher taxes and all these crazy social programs, and then they flee the state because they can't afford to live there anymore.
Stay.
But they carry the political right. philosophy to places like Colorado, which used to be diehard Republican, mm-hmm. or places like Texas, which was diehard Republican, and now you have these blue kind of wellsprings of Austin. And other cities popping up. I understand swing states like PA. You've got Philly and Pittsburgh that are blue cities, and the rest of the state leans red.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand divided states. Michigan's a lot like that too. You could argue that Detroit has a larger influence than probably it proportionally should, which makes me thankful for the Electoral College because, man, if we are not a democracy, the democracy is a mob, and then the founding fathers knew that.
Because
if you get 51% to say strip the 49's rights, then a mob rule does that. We're a representative republic, at least we were until this election. And what that means is that the mob doesn't get to take away my rights. And speaking of my rights, let's shift off of. So are you in agreement Biden's going to be seated as president?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no way that's changing.
And I'll go a step further. He'll only be there a year.
I'm giving 6 to 9 months. So hold us to that, and we'll see how well this season's
sure.
over the next year. So in honor of the soon enthroned and ensconced, whatever word you want to use, seated president after Biden, which will be Kami Kamala, I have brought a gun that will most likely pass the new restrictions that we're going to see over the next 1 to 4 years. So are we ready to talk about that?
Let's do it.
Okay, so here's what we know for a fact. On the Democrat platform, they proposed putting new tax burdens on gun ownership. If you're not familiar with it, certain gun parts and pieces and types of guns require a federal tax stamp, basically a federal permission slip where they charge you a bunch of money in order to own them. And most weapons that most people own do not currently fall underneath that umbrella. But what Joe Biden has proposed is expanding that umbrella so that most of the guns that most of us own will fall under it, which means that you will have to pay a $200 permission slip for every semi-auto, every quote-unquote battle rifle, which is just a semi-auto sporting rifle like an AR or an AK, every high-capacity magazine, which in their mind is over 10 rounds. So, you know, that would cost a normal gun owner like you or me honestly, thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Every magazine that could hold that much, if I have to pay $200 for a $30 ammo holder, I mean, that's all a magazine. I know it's a scary word for non-gun people, but that's what a gun magazine is. It holds the bullets.
Right.
Holds the cartridges, excuse me. If I have to pay $200 for every one of them, that's a $3,000 or $4,000 tax bill I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Or I become an instant felon because I haven't complied.
Right.
And so these kinds of things are coming, man. You know, also Biden has very adamantly stated, you know, prove me wrong on this one too, that he wants to remove indemnity for gun manufacturers. This is something that happened under President Bush, and they've been fighting against it ever since and really came after it hard after Sandy Hook, mm-hmm. Where they want to be able to sue the manufacturer for how the product is used. It'd be like suing Ford because their car was used in a bank robbery or a DUI.
Right.
And there's no other manufacturer that's held to the standard.
Sure.
That you can sue them because of how their product is used. Hell, even vaccine makers get indemnity against a lawsuit of their product. There's a special federal vaccine court that pays out cases on the down low when you get vaccine damage that very few people know about. So to put gun manufacturers under this level of scrutiny is going to drive them out of business or make them pass those costs on after dozens and dozens and dozens of outrageous lawsuits. Just like medical malpractice lawsuits, they'll have to carry such large insurance policies and pass those costs on to the average gun owner that then you and I won't be able to afford their product anymore.
Right.
Because a $500 handgun will now cost $2,500.
Sure.
And that $20 box of ammo, because they want to tax, you know, as part of gun violence, they want to tax your ammo, and it'll be a death of a thousand cuts. No, they're not going to ban guns in 4 years. They're not. They're not going to eradicate the Second Amendment. But what they'll do is they'll make it more expensive, more restrictive, more difficult to legally own, and then over time, bankrupt a few of the manufacturers, drive ammo prices through the roof, combined with crazy people hoarding, you know, because that always happens when Democrats get in office. And you're going to see gun culture continuing to contract. Right. So getting back to my point, for those who don't know, you know, I don't just hate on Kamala Harris just because she's a woman. I actually happen to like women. I hate on her because she helped write the amicus brief for California and a very, very important gun case that went before the Supreme Court. And her perspective was that the Second Amendment wasn't for individuals like you and me. It was really for the militia or the state National Guard.
Yep.
So whereas Joe Biden wants to restrict the Second Amendment, at least he believes we still have a right to it. Kamala Harris believes we don't even have a right to it.
Right.
And so in order to try and satisfy the new level of scrutiny that we're going under, I brought in a bolt action. Now, it has been cleared. I'm not going to take the time to clear it. You're just going to have to trust me. There's no ammo in it. You know, don't get freaked out about safety. I'm safe. But this is a Russian. And how fitting, because you have your Russian flag in many of our states after. I find it so ironic, Josh, that after 4 years of crying about Russian collusion, that the Democratic Party would rush to embrace Soviet policies. Oh. Like restricting guns or forcing things upon you or closing down churches while strip clubs and massage parlors can stay open under COVID rules.
Well, here's something to think about, too, as far as that goes. All that talk of we should get rid of the Electoral College,
mm-hmm.
that's all gone now.
Oh, yeah, it magically disappeared.
It just poof.
Yeah. So this is a bolt-action Soviet rifle. This is a Mosin Nagant. Shoots a 7.62 by 54R, which means rimmed, but often is called 54 Russian. This was made in 1938, stamped right here on the top, and the Izvestk, which is where they also make the world-renowned AKs for decades and decades. And this is going to be about the only thing you'll be able to own in 4 years. That's why I finally picked one up in honor of Biden becoming the office of the president-elect, and because this is going to be the only thing left standing. When they take the ARs and they take the shotguns and they take everything that looks tactical and scary, you'll still be allowed for a season to have bolt action. And the magazine capacity is only 5, so that meets California commie standards. And so I'm glad to have it, and hopefully I'll be able to hold on to it for more than 4 years. Who knows how restrictive they're going to be, but I think you have one in the corner there you can show off too. So we've got a Russian rifle theme here. Let's see if that's gonna another one that's clear. We both verified these before we got on camera.
This is on loan from a friend of mine.
Okay.
You can put some type of forward optic on it so the bolt will clear, or you can go to the modified bent bolt if you want.
Yeah, bent bolt and maybe a side bracket or
sure.
Tap out the top.
But nonetheless, it's a Russian 30-06.
So it's the same thing as mine. It is a Mosin-Nagant. It is a bolt action. So yours was made in the Tula plant, which is also Russian. And yours dates to
1943.
So the odds that both of these weapons have seen some kind of conflict are extremely high.
Yes.
Having been around mine since the beginning of World War II and yours since the middle of World War II, they made about a gajillion of them. You know, there's some things that Russians are really, really good at. Apparently, according to Democrats, election meddling is one of them. But past that, historically, they've been really good at chess, playing chess, drinking vodka, and making really cool firearms like the Mosin, the SKS, and the AK-47, the most prolific small arm in the world. And so I would encourage you, I tell this to my coworkers and friends all the time, look, man, if you haven't gotten an AR-15, you say, well, why would you even need one? Because they're great hunting tools. You know, you can harvest deer with them, especially if you get a straight wall cartridge version here in Ohio. You can use them for coyote hunting, sport hunting, and they are common use, man. It's, you know, it's funny because many Democrats would look at a bolt action rifle and say, well, yeah, that's closer to what the founding fathers meant. But the reality is, in 1938, that was a weapon of war.
Right.
That was a rapid fire. I mean, it's got an attached magazine mm-hmm. that would hold five rounds. It ain't like you're single loading shotgun shells into a breech barrel,
right?
Or break barrel. And so that was a assault rifle.
Sure.
Back in the day. So the technology has changed. I would encourage you, it's time, if you don't own them, because there's going to come a time where you're not going to be able to get a hold of them, or it's going to be so damn cost prohibitive that you won't be able to afford to buy an AK or an AR.
Right.
And they're fascinating to own. They're fun. To me, owning a Soviet firearm is interesting. It's an interesting piece of history.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the modern ones, the newer AKs, they're fun. They're fantastic for, you know, shit hit the fan or plinking or home defense.
Right.
There's a lot of uses for them. And just because you can, you know, I don't need to drive 150 miles an hour, but it's nice to have a sports car that could do it if I owned one.
Sure. Well, my biggest reason for owning any of the scary rifles, obviously, is defensive. A lot of people maybe are more in line with, say, a handgun.
Sure.
But my
that's me.
My philosophy is, if I have to use a handgun, it's to fight my way to something I should have never put down to begin with.
And that's what a lot of people believe. So, and there's a lot of good information out right now that points, and a lot of good research that points to the fact that ARs do make a really good home defense gun. You don't get over penetration like you would actually expect with a rifle. You'd think, man, I'm going to shoot through my four walls, my refrigerator, and hit my neighbor five blocks down. It actually doesn't happen that way. And so, you know, maybe with the heavier round of an AK, you might have to worry about that, mm-hmm. But especially in the .223, you're not going to get a whole lot of over-penetration. And a lot of people are using them and building them into their system of home defense for that reason.
Sure.
So, you know, get one while you can if you find them interesting. You don't need to be scared of them. They're just tools, man. And my guns have never hurt nobody. Hell, my wife would laugh. Most of my guns have never harvested any animals either. This past hunting season being no exception. So even in the field, even the poor animals don't have a whole lot to worry about for me.
I was going to say, most of mine have aided me in a very enjoyable nap.
Yeah, hunting guns, yeah.
Yeah.
A nice nap under a tree, that's about all they're, all they do. That's funny. All right, we talked about guns, we talked about the election, we talked about COVID. Anything else on the light side before we wrap up?
I would tell people that step back and look at what's going on, and don't go down a rabbit hole. And I'm gonna give a an example what I mean.
Okay.
After 9/11, they're big conspiracy theories. It was an inside job, blah, blah, blah. And at face value, hold on, at face value, you could make that argument, right? Except we have this thing called 2,000 years of history where they do not like Christians.
Sure.
And you can't remove that one scenario from history and set it by itself. And today is no different. You know, you can't get so... I have friends that I shouldn't say, at a place that I go frequently during the week.
Okay.
That have to put their phone down because Facebook will get them so irate. I mean, it will physically make them angry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Step back away from it. I mean,
no, that's a good word.
And realize that you're taking one. You might be having a bad day. You're not having a bad life.
No, that's good, man. It's good to have perspective, and that's what I told going back to Jack, who worked me mercilessly in the steel mill today. as I say it for the third time, that's what I said when I came in to work. Is it, you know, it was a little bit crisp or brisk this morning. It was a little bit cool,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't freezing.
Right.
You know, I was there working on a Saturday, but at least I have a job.
Right.
You know, you start to catch me here.
Yep.
I mean, earlier in the week, I'm not a morning person, but twice this week, I got up. No. 2, 3, 4 times this week, I got up before the sun, which is hard to do with daylight savings time, and went and worked out or marched in the field looking for deer, so that when I woke up today at 5:45, I felt like I slept in. Dude, that's wild. So it's all about perspective, is my point. And I agree with you, Josh. Look, it's okay to be passionate about this stuff, and I'd encourage people, you know, look, take a stand. You know, like Jay has talked about, start your own podcast, get a positive release. For me, that's been playing my horn and playing the keyboard at church, trying to work out and you know, slam some medicine balls around and kind of grind some of the stress out. Whatever it is for you, find a healthy outlet, take a step back, take some deep breaths, and don't let this wreck your peace or your own personal faith. We're coming into Christmas. I know it's easy to say, but and this kind of oppressive spirit of the season that we're in can be overwhelming. It really can.
Yep.
But find the things that bring you joy. You know, playing chess with my uncle, who joined us a little bit ago, sitting down and talking to you over some coffee. There's still a lot of good in life, so celebrate it. And I'm going to close with a poem, if you don't mind.
Do it.
Okay. I believe this is by, to be honest, I can't remember. I'd have to look it up, and I don't want to waste your time doing that. So I'll put it in the comments later on. But this really stuck out to me yesterday when I stumbled across it. It reads, "What makes a nation's pillars high and its foundations strong? What makes it mighty to defy the foes that round it throng? It is not gold. Its kingdoms grand go down in battle shock. Its shafts are laid on sinking sand, not on abiding rock. Is it the sword? Ask the red dust of empires passed away. The blood has turned their stones to rust, their glory to decay. Or is it pride? Ah, that bright crown has seemed to nations sweet, but God has struck its luster down in ashes at his feet. Not gold, but only men can make a people great and strong. Men who for truth and honor's sake stand fast and suffer long. Brave men who work while others sleep, who stand when others fly, they build a nation's pillars deep and lift them to the sky." You know, stand up. You know, and as Candace Owen pointed out,
Owens
pointed out earlier this week, this nation is in desperate need of men taking a stand. You know, we can't afford to be sucked into PlayStation 12 hours a week, or mindless entertainment, you know, Game of Thrones for 7 seasons or whatever it is for you. You don't have to obsess about this stuff, but man, you have to do something to get involved and make a difference. Because otherwise the values that you hold and that you received from generations past, your parents and your grandparents, are not going to be here for your children and your grandchildren.
And now, I think that's a good way to leave it.
All right.
I think we should probably get back together on something resembling a
yes. I know we
schedule.
we joke about this every damn time we sit down, and I always say we're gonna do this on a more regular basis, and then 3 or 4 or 7 months passes by, but you will see us soon within the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely, and until then, make sure to check out Anchor FM and Radio Free America for the podcast.
Svidaniya. Comrades, lay down your arms.
And it is 7:05.
I must break you.
In Radio Free America. Peace.